March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I want to tell you guys something cool that is happening. Our friends over at Brew Brothers at Harris, Kansas City, they're partnering with Save Wings. Save Wings is the charity of Brett Saberhagen. It is dedicated to providing financial support for everyday living expenses to patients that help fight cancer. If you go to Brew Brothers, they have two special menu items where a part of the proceeds go directly to Save Wings. You can get the double American Wagyu bacon burger. You also can get the baseball cut 10 ounces American Wagyu sirloin steak. So if you go down to Brew Brothers at Harris, Kansas City, you can enjoy some great food, grab yourself a cold drink, and you can also support a wonderful cause. And be sure to tell them that The Drive sent you there. We certainly want to help out in any way that we can to the charity of Brett Saberhagen. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by one of the greatest pitchers in Royals history. Brett Saberhagen joins us on the show. Brett, really appreciate your time. Really great work that you guys are doing. Tell us how your charity got started.
Well, my wife and I kind of co-founded Saves Wings. I had a nonprofit that wasn't doing a whole lot since 2008, where the economy kind of went south. She's a three-time diagnosed with breast cancer, and that's kind of where it all stemmed from. We were spending about $22,000 a month on her last diagnosis with experimental drugs that weren't covered. So when we got done with that, we talked about it and changed the mission to helping families going through cancer. And it doesn't matter what type of cancer it is, doesn't matter how old you are or young. If you are skipping treatments, if you can't afford your mortgage, if you can't afford your car payment, you're mortgaging your house because you're trying to keep a loved one alive, that's where Saves Wings kind of was all thought up and founded by Candace and myself. And so far, we've helped families in 20 different states. We've been doing a lot with KU Med, their oncology staff, and that, and helping a lot of people in Kansas City. And it's been a great couple years. We've only been, this will be our fifth year of really kind of kicking Saves Wings into gear. And it's been very gratifying. I feel like I was put on this planet not just to pitch baseball, but use that platform to help all these families that we're helping.
I do want to get back to your charity here in a bit. Let's kind of go back and forth and talk some baseball as well. You are someone who has started opening day before. What is it like? Take us through the emotion of what it's like to start that first game of the season.
Well, you always want to get your first at-bat, your first inning pitched. You don't want it to linger for a few days. I never really had a whole lot of success on opening day, but it was always a great thrill to be representing the team and going out there and getting that nod for opening day. It's a great honor bestowed on whoever that opening day starter is. It means that you've done some good work and you've had some success. So it's always great. It seems like a national holiday. People, kids, and fans just come out to support their team and get the boys of summer going in the right direction. Hopefully.
Now, right now, we're talking to Brett Saberhagen, just getting his thoughts on the Royals, getting his thoughts on baseball. I'm excited to ask you this question. As someone who, you started your career in 84 and you went to the late 90s and early 2000s, how did you see the game change in your career? How have you seen it change in the 25 years since you've been out of baseball?
Well, it really hasn't changed a whole lot while I was playing the 18 years that I was in the big leagues. It has changed since I've left the game. Analytics has been a big part of the game. And I'm not a huge analytics fan. I feel like there's a place in the game for it, but I don't think there's enough managing and coaching with the eyes as much as it should be. You know, that's what managers did back when we were playing. Again, I think there's a place for analytics, but if analytics was 100% right 100% of the time, I would say, that's what you should be doing all the time. But a lot of times the managers need to go with their gut and their eyes to see, whether they should leave a guy in or take a guy out or, move them over or so on and so forth. But the analytics has really made a difference in the game and the videos. And so that's a huge part of it. I know guys are coming back and just watching video after video of their previous at-bats. And we did some of that, but it was more of VHS tapes. It wasn't, the iPads in the dugout or in the runway that they have going on now. And it's tough for a lot of older players, such as, I'll give you a for instance, Chili Davis is a dear friend of mine, and him working with the hitters and when he was with the Cubs, Oakland, the Mets, the Red Sox, it's tough to relate to some of those guys, and he did a great job of it, don't get me wrong, but the way they think are a little bit, nowadays the players think a little differently than what we did, the old-timers. I'm going to throw myself in the old-timer category.
Right now we're talking to Brett Saberhagen, just talking about his career a little bit, getting you ready for baseball. It is his back around the country. You are actually the first person that I have ever talked to that has thrown a no-hitter in a game. I've got a chance to talk to Tom Glavine. I've got a chance to talk to John Smoltz. Neither one of those individuals have pitched a no-hitter. You have. Take us back to August 26th of 1991, and in the course of that, when do you know that your stuff is on and that this is possible?
Two great Hall of Famers, and I see them out on the golf course periodically. I'll have to mention that next time they rib me about something else. So thanks for sharing that. But, it was I've come close to a no-hitter in a perfect game in the past prior to August 26th, I believe, in 91. Brent Maine was my catcher. It was against the White Sox. By the time I got to the seventh inning, and that's kind of where I kind of did some visualizing, is like in the past, I always was thinking about outs. So you get to the seventh inning, it's like, okay, I need so many outs left to get, six more outs and five more outs. And instead of focusing on how many outs I needed to get, I was focused to pitch in that particular day in that no hitter. So it really helped with me kind of strategizing, not really focused on just trying to get an out rather than focused on the hitter and how to set him up if I fell behind or was ahead in the count, what I wanted to do, my strengths, their weaknesses.
Who is the best former baseball player turned golfer?
Well, Smoltz's right up there, that's for sure. But Mark Mulder, I'd put Mulder up there against just about anybody. The majority of them are pitchers. Derek Lowe's another one of those really good golfers. Great athlete as well. Smoltz, and I know Smoltz tried to play on a tour event one time, didn't make the cut, but that's a different ball game. I think a lot of times we feel like we can compete with the pros in a different sport, but realistically, there's no chance.
One thing I noticed when you go back and you watch highlights from your era, and I understand it's differently. Guys make more money than they ever had before. Guys change teams more frequently than you guys did back in the day. There seemed to be a genuine dislike and disgust for other teams. Like, you guys hated the New York Yankees. You hated certain teams. I don't really get that feel in today's game that Team A really doesn't like Team B.
Yeah, no. It's definitely some of the rivalries are still there, but the hatred towards certain teams, such as the Yankees and Red Sox, it seems a little more calm and relaxed. You don't have Don Zimmer coming after Pedro Martinez and Pedro throwing him to the ground, and Veritek and A-Rod getting into a scuffle So, it was one of those rivalries that you strap it on and you never know what you were going to get in a game. So, it's probably not as strong, but it's still there, and especially with the fans. The fans will definitely let you know whether the players might feel it or not. The fans definitely do.
Right now, we're talking to Brett Saberhagen. He is joining us courtesy of his charity, Sabes Wings. Just talking a little baseball here. You mentioned the best pitcher that you have been around in Pedro Martinez. He's the best pitcher that I've ever seen in person. You could just tell that he was different. You could tell that he was special. Let's go to the other side. Who's the best hitter that you face? Who's that guy that you would put in that category the way you discuss Pedro Martinez?
Well, you know, definitely being around George Brett, seeing him day in and day out, you would probably take him for granted. But definitely a guy, if you needed a clutch hit just to kind of pick up the team, he led by example, amazing to be around. But a guy that really wore me out that I played against was Wade Boggs. He hit about 450, I believe, off of me. But I did get him out 33 times, so...
You mentioned you're a golfer. What's your favorite course that you've played at? Is there still a course that's on your bucket list that you haven't made it to yet?
Well, Augusta's coming up. The Masters, have not played there. I haven't been on the grounds, actually, but that would be that. That's number one. If anybody's listening out there that wants to be able to take me to play Augusta, I'd be up for that. I've played some amazing courses. I love Scotland. One of the newer courses, the old course, if it didn't have the history, and I'll tell you a quick little funny story. Kings Barn is probably my favorite course over there. Carnoustie is a very tough course, but we were playing Kings Barn. One of the trips that we went over there, it was one of the first trips before we played the old course ever. And the caddy asked what course you guys plan on playing tomorrow, and he said we're on the ballot for the old course. We hope to get on that. And the caddy says, it's a goat track, and didn't really understand it until seeing it. And if it didn't have the history, it wouldn't be as special. I should say that it's a fun course to play. It's scoreable. The caddies come into play quite a bit, but the old course would be up there. Kings Barnes would be up there. Pebble Beach definitely would be up there. I've been fortunate to play some fun courses. There's plenty of courses around the United States that that I would love to play at some point in time before I can only hit the ball 100 yards.
I got a couple of pitching questions, and we'll get you out of here. We're talking to Brett Saberhagen. The first one, when you watch baseball today, is there a pitcher that reminds you of you?
Ooh. That's a good question. I'm going to have to think about this one, and I'll have to get back to you on that. I love watching guys that that's similar to me. I don't know, but I love the guys that are the bulldogs that want the ball, that go along in the game, and the manager lets them go more than three times around in the order. If we can get them to throw a few more innings and compete a little bit more, a few more shutouts, a few more complete games throughout the year, those are the pitchers that that I enjoy watching, that really take pride in what they start and trying to finish off the game. But there's some amazing pitchers in and around the game that I really love to watch.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. Maybe not there's a player that reminds you of you, but are there a couple of guys that you try to make it a point, hey, I want to see when this guy starts, I want to make sure. Are there those guys in Major League Baseball that really gravitated towards?
You know what? I like good baseball now. So if there's a good matchup that is going on, then I definitely want to tune into that. But I wouldn't say there's a certain pitcher that I'm gonna check out if he's pitching. I'm still a huge baseball fan. I still have a lot of former teammates and friends that I played against that are coaching. So Bud Black, who was my mentor with the Royals while I was there, is still with the Rockies, and it'd be nice to see the Rockies different players for him. It seems like every time he goes to manage somewhere, whether it's Padres or the Rockies, he's got a few players and they trade him away. It's fun to watch. And again, I was a Cub fan growing up, so my first big league game I ever went to was at Wrigley Field. My grandfather, who actually got me involved in baseball. I pull for multiple teams. All the teams that I've played for, of course, there are four of those teams. But the friends that are coaching and around the major league still, I still pull for them.
Last thing here, I mean, you are one of the few people who have ever won the Cy Young Award multiple times. I mean, you are one of the greatest pitchers in league history. I'm sure at some point there is a young pitcher, whether it's a high school kid, whether it's a college kid, maybe it's a major leaguer that comes up to you and asks you advice. What's the number one piece of advice that you give? What advice do you give people who want to turn out to have the career that you had?
Command over velocity. First pitch strikes. That's pretty simple. If you can do that, if you go strike one, you can throw any pitch in your arsenal on the second pitch. You go ball one, it kind of lowers what you want to do, and if you definitely fall behind past ball one, then the pitches that you want to throw. Again, sometimes you don't want them on the plate, and you can't throw that ball. You need to throw that strike. I hate walks, so command over velocity for me. And that's what everybody loves. It's like, okay, the spin rotation, the velocity that they're throwing. There's a lot of guys that throw around 90 miles an hour that make a lot of money in Major League Baseball. So.
That is Brett Saberhagen joining us on the show today. He is a two-time Cy Young Award winner. He is a World Series MVP. He is a World Series champion. He is coming to the show courtesy of Saves Wing, his charity that is dedicated to providing financial support for everyday living expenses to patients who are fighting cancer. Brett, it is a tremendous charity. It is great work that you guys are doing, and we're happy to support and spread the message however we can. We really appreciate your time today. Thanks for popping on.
Well, we really appreciate you having us on, and if you get a chance, go on into Harrah's, check out the meals that they have that they're giving back to Saves Wings as well. They got a steak and a burger and a brew that you could purchase, and the percentage of each one that is sold goes back to Saves Wings. So go on into Harrah's and check it out, and maybe play your luck a little bit there.
Absolutely. That's Brett Saberhagen joining us on the show today. Brett, really appreciate your time. Thanks a lot for popping on today.
All right. Thank you.